This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila, and we're moving on to our first story this hour, which is a really interesting one and an extension of something we spoke about, I think, last week, because the finance minister, Tengku Zafrul, has essentially said that 40% of millennials are spending beyond their means. So today we want to look at what's driving that behaviour, how to approach personal finance from a youth perspective, and understanding, I think, the very specific factors that are leading to this in the first place. And this is coming on the heels of a recent conversation we had about credit scores. And if we look at the stats that have been released, for example, as recently as 2018, Bank Negara Malaysia found that 47% of youths have high credit card debt. Some of the reasons given were impulse buying behavior, easy access to personal loans and financing, instant gratification, and seamless online purchasing.
Yes, and that report, so just to break it down a little bit, the report also showed that 40% of youths said that they themselves were spending beyond their means. 70% of them also were dissatisfied with their pay. And I think that might be a fairly important point here. And 40% of the money that was being spent was actually on food expenditure. So a lot of this, I think, speaks to a larger idea of, I mean, we talk a lot about inflation, wage growth, and whether, I think my struggle with this is that I often disagree with that neat argument of millennials don't manage their money well, because I think it comes from the same impulse that says back in my day, without taking into account that a lot of things have changed, that the cost of living in a place like KL, for instance, is a lot more than what it used to be.
Yeah, and I really want to get ahead of the dreaded, I'm just going to bring up a fruit and then we won't talk about it anymore. I don't want to hear about avocados because no, they've become a shorthand. I think they've become a shorthand for dismissing the kinds of very real struggles that people have when it comes to paying their bills. And this idea of, you know what, stop drinking Starbucks, stop eating avocado toast. And I don't think it's as simple as that. If you look at the 40% of money being spent on food, I just think that it would be very dismissive to look at that and assume that it comes down to that just being expensive food, especially when you look at how much people are actually earning. So, for instance, when it comes to wage growth, right, this idea of stagnating wages and the point that it is a huge problem, between the ages of 20 to 29, annual growth rate is 2.4%. And if you contrast that to people aged 40 to 49, the annual growth rate is 3.9%. And this earning gap, I think, really signifies a growing wage divide and wage stagnation. And I think can lead to a sense of, how long is it going to take, right? How long is it going to take before I hit a point where my salary is something that I don't just live on, but that I can save? Because 3 in 5 individuals among the young say that they can't sustain themselves with their savings beyond 3 months. And that's a very worrying number.
Yeah, that's a very worrying number. And while, yes, in 2020, the bulk of a lot of debt for young people did come from credit cards, which might feed into some of that conversation about lifestyle purchases and so on, I think we also need to remember that just 2 years before that, the bulk of debt for a lot of young people is actually from their government and education loans. And I don't necessarily think that these would have gone away. Government and education loans are a large part of what a lot of people end up spending a big part of their income on. So yes, I think that while there's some sense to be made out of why young people may be overspending, I'm not a fan of jumping to the millennials don't know how to manage their money too quickly.
It's also because it comes down to the amount of money that you're actually making.
Yes.
So above and beyond, and we're going to get into the stuff about the impulse spending and instant gratification, because I do think that that is a part of it, right? The ease with which you can literally buy with a click of a button now, with very little verification, because you know what? They've baked that into the system. It's part of what makes it easy for them to sell to you. And that's definitely something, a behavior that needs to be addressed. But if you look at the larger systemic issues, right? people who earn below living wages are more likely to take on personal loans. And in that category, 38% of youths have personal loans. 26% of people who were declared bankrupt between 2015 and 2019 were under the age of 34. 28% of adults surveyed by AKPK say they borrow money from friends and family. So this is clearly an issue of not just overspending, but not having enough. And so that's something that we want to get into, and all the rest of it. We're talking today about millennials and personal finance, really. If you have questions or thoughts on this, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is exactly 6:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking about millennials and personal finance. And this is coming after the finance minister said that 40% of millennials are spending beyond their means. We want to take a closer look at that. If you have thoughts or questions, that number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Suraya Zainuddin, writer and founder of RingitOrRingit.com. Suraya, thanks for speaking with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
First of all, can we get your thoughts on that statistic, 40% of youths spending beyond their means? What do you think, and what do you think is driving this behavior?
Well, first of all, that's a really big question. So I would like to break it down a little bit. Youth make up about 45% also of Malaysia's population. So we're talking about the spending behavior of roughly 13, 14 million people. It's really hard to give a comprehensive answer, but I will try. Based on my research, there are four very distinct types of categories of people who are particularly vulnerable to financial difficulties. These would be, for example, people who face systemic discrimination. An easy example would be people who belong inside the informal sector, informal workers, people from rural populations who tend to, but not always, face barriers to education, including financial education. So they're very vulnerable. Aside from that, there are also youth who are dependent and also maybe manipulated by people with dark personalities. So in society, there are a lot of narcissists and psychopaths who just really do not think twice about manipulating and cheating and taking advantage of other people. So these are called the dark triad personalities. They are unfortunately overrepresented in business and leadership positions. So you can imagine if someone, particularly youth, you know, who lack experience, they are stuck with bosses who only pay them minimum wage despite the bosses earning a lot of profit, that will leave them at a very vulnerable position again. Aside from that, people who face financial difficulties are people who have low media literacy. So these are the cases when people say, you don't have any self-control. The real reason is that they are not able to identify and also defend themselves against messaging with ill or misleading intent. So this is not just due to lack of education, but also rather how things are designed by the designers of those tools. I would give as an example, someone with low media literacy would believe that all the promises made by credit cards and also the buy now, pay later services, who might give really nice messaging but helping them to achieve a better life, but all they're doing is encouraging consumption for things that they can't afford. Those are the examples. And then the final category, there are people who are part of the sandwich generation. So there are a lot of youth out there who are already taking it, you know, the responsibility of being the breadwinner. They're taking care of their parents, maybe young children, maybe younger siblings, other family members. So we all know elderly care, child care are very expensive, even for moderate to high earning households. So they are already spending beyond their means because they need to, not because they want to. So to compound all of that, there's also the fact that it is more expensive to be poor, and the research that also links financial anxiety to poorer decision-making. So when someone is in a constant state of stress, for youth, for example, it is understandable that they would get themselves small treats just to make life less dreadful, and therefore that might translate into the statistics that youth are spending beyond their means.
Suraya, you touched on credit card usage earlier. Could you elaborate a little bit in terms of how specifically credit card usage is impacting this overspending that we're talking about?
Sure thing. So this credit card enable bet spending in two very distinct ways. The first one is that psychologically speaking, cashless transactions are less painful to make rather than making transactions with banknotes. So that barrier, you don't feel the pain when you feel less pain when you use a cashless transaction, including credit cards. The second one is all of the marketing efforts that go behind encouraging credit card transactions. I get spam messages all the time encouraging new personal loans, new attractive offers. And sometimes one of those marketing will catch you at a very vulnerable moment. And the next thing you know, you swiped on something that you shouldn't. So that's exactly why credit card and just things that encourage impulsive behavior is very dangerous.
What advice would you have actually on how to manage that kind of impulsive behavior, especially if we don't have the disposable income to do so, but we do have a credit card that makes it possible?
So I would say that my take is I'm of the opinion, not a fact, an opinion, that in my take is just be too busy that you don't have the time to shop for leisure. That is my strategy. It is also a good idea to tweak your environment, reduce your temptations to buy. Easier said than done, but these are, you know, things like removing yourself from a group which encourages shopping or unfollowing influencers, sharing all of their recommendations, subscribing to email newsletters, uninstalling shopping apps. So the less that you see them, the less likely you are to buy.
What about the question of stagnant wages? Because that's one of the things many people point to as a reason why younger people are struggling. Do you think this is the case?
Yes, for sure. I mean, if you look at there are statistics out there that says that the average CEO in Malaysia makes 148 times the typical employee salary. So absolutely, I think that the stagnant wage is, or rather, the income distribution is absolutely skewed to one end rather than the other. There is wealth out there, it's just not fairly distributed.
I'm curious to know, how did you build your financial habits when you were younger? What went into that process, and perhaps, you know, what can people take away from that process itself?
I think, like everyone else, my first financial role models, people who I look up to, for better or for worse, were my parents. But interestingly, I think my desire to earn were more of an act of rebellion than anything else. I think that because of my background in particular, after a certain age, I just got embarrassed of just getting pocket money and being financially supported. So I just insisted on working and just continued on there, getting, you know, fairly moving out at a fairly early age also kind of contributed from there. Having said that, I know that this is, I do come from fairly privileged background, and it's quite important to highlight that because not everyone have the same position where they can afford to move out from parent house for a variety of reasons. So, you know, in addition to parents, I also look up to various, you know, resources, including books and other sources.
So let's look at the question of credit card debt, right? What mm-hmm. are the risks of accruing credit card debt from a younger age?
There are a lot of risks. It's the first and primary risk would be, well, your credit score might be affected. So that will result in worse deals for you later down the line when you want to get a property loan. That might translate into a higher, you know, interest rate. You might be paying a few thousand ringgit more. So that's not good. But other than that, I think more importantly, the immediate risk would be not having a source of emergency money. When you have a credit card, that means that you have the option, but to access that money. So what are you going to do if an actual emergency happens and you need fast cash? So that's when people look for other sources of money, which might not be good for them, or even go without, and that might translate into a worse situation for them.
And how can people stay on top of repayments?
I mean, I'm a big fan of earning more whilst staying frugal. I think a lot of people rightfully point out that low wages is an issue in Malaysia. And yes, wages have been stagnant for a while. But there are also so many resources out there to guide you into finding higher paying jobs or sales work with high commission. I think that while people, again, rightfully pointing out that, you know, a lot of financial institutions are saying that, you know, salaries are stagnant, we need to give people living wage, but there are a lot of reasons why it's not yet. So you have no choice really but to take matters into your own hands and just figure out a way to earn more. You know, if you want to stay mad for 5 minutes and then just get back to action. It's a very easy thing to say, but hard to implement, but that's literally what you need to do for your own self.
Now, the finance minister, Tengku Zafrul's advice was that if a 20-year-old wishes to have 1 million ringgit in savings by the time he or she turns 60, assuming the annual return of 6%, that this person should need to save about 500 ringgit a month. Is that a feasible amount? Is that a good amount to start with? Is that even a reasonable amount to expect?
I mean, because the salary range for youth are quite wide. You have people who are earning minimum wage, 1,200, and then you have people earning, you know, unlimited amounts. On the, you know, the ones that are below 2,000 and below, 2,500 and below, I would think it would be very tough for them. I really don't see how it is possible, especially if they're living in urban areas or if they are financially vulnerable, just by pure maths alone, right? So I think the best possible situation is for someone to negotiate or job hop their way to a very, very well-paying job. Ideally, the job also respects your non-working hours, so you are not burnout. So you also have time to sort out and optimize your finances, do all the amazing things like meal prepping, save money, and all that. But also, you know, the time to rest, recuperate, work on site, which is businesses, passion projects. That would be, I also want to advocate for, you know, work-life balance. There's, you know, saving for the sake of saving for retirement while there's no way someone can, you know, save up every single cent while neglecting their health or their sanity. That's not healthy as well. So something that is, you know, this is different for many people, but something that is healthy would be the way to go.
Soraya, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was Soraya Zainuddin, writer and founder of RingitOhRingit.com, speaking to us about personal finance for young people. This is coming as the finance minister said that 40% of millennials are living beyond their means at the moment. We want to know, what are your thoughts on this and what money-saving tips you might have, actually. And if you're interested to learn more about managing your finances, that you might be interested in checking out BFM's Roomit video series, breaking down key concepts you need to know in digestible, understandable episodes. The latest video actually looks at how happy you are with your salary and what is keeping salaries low in the country. That's available on our Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. In the meantime, keep those thoughts coming and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.